There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line, since the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On the one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun, it refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over, it is finished, there'll be no more war, it is finished, the end of the conflict, it is finished, and Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war have come home. They were battlefields of mine own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all those battles for me, and victory was mine for the claiming. And now praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle is over, it is finished, there'll be no more war, it is finished, the end of the conflict, it is finished, and Jesus is Lord. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Whew, how you follow that? Amen. I don't know if that doesn't do something for you. I don't know. I'll tell you what, actually, I'm going to tell you what. If that don't do something for you, this message I'm about to preach to you is the exact message that you need this morning. I sat in my basement last night, and I just thought about where God brought me from, what God's done for me. I don't ever want to get over being a prisoner, being in bondage, and being set free.
Amen.
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 You have to help me a little bit this morning. We're running on about a third of our congregation. Pastor said yesterday, brighten your section. Amen. I'm going to need a little help this morning.
Amen.
Well, I got all the help I need.
That's right. That's right.
The Holy Ghost of God is in this place.
Amen.
You say, you believe that, Brother Dave, with everything in me. And I mean it. If that song right there, if that truth right there, if that thought right there doesn't do something for you, then I believe with all of my heart this morning, the message that I'm about to preach is for you. Now, I believe it's for all of us at some point in time. But if this morning, the songs of the saints, if the worship of God doesn't stir something in your heart, then I want you to listen real closely to the message this morning. Wyatt read in Luke chapter number 2, passage of scripture about the Lord Jesus when he was a child, when he was 12 years old. And I want to preach to you this morning a message out of Luke chapter number 2. And if I had to title my message this morning, it would be this: Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Now, before I get into my message, I do want to say this. Before I get started, I want to make this very clear. I don't believe for one minute that a child of God can lose their salvation, okay? Now I realize there's a lot of people that believe that you can lose your salvation, or you can turn from your salvation, you can walk away from your salvation. Now I don't believe that because I don't believe the Bible teaches it. In John chapter 10 and verse number 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." You say, well, that right there is enough for me.
Right.
You see, it's either eternal or it's not.
Right.
If I don't have eternal life, then God lied.
Right.
Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That word there actually means never, no, not never. "They will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father that gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." You see, I believe that the child of God is secured. The day they get saved, they are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost of God comes to live inside of a child of God, and that is the down payment, that is the earnest that we're going to get there, brethren. Okay, so I don't want you to misunderstand my message this morning. If you are truly born again, if you truly have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. So I'm not preaching that we can lose our salvation this morning when I preach this message. So I want to say that, number one. Number two, I'd like to say this. I understand the context of the scripture, I believe. And what I'm going to preach to you this morning may not be the primary interpretation of these passages in Luke chapter 2. Now, I'm not trying to confuse you, but what I'm trying to do is be honest with you, okay? The Bible is a living book.
Right.
I mean, this book right here is alive.
Right.
It's inexhaustible.
Right.
I mean, men have been preaching it for years and years, and I believe that if the truth be known, we haven't even touched the hem of the garment.
Right.
I mean, this is an amazing book right here. And so when I tell you that, I say I'm not preaching the primary interpretation. It may not be what's on the surface right here, but I believe what I'm preaching is maybe a secondary interpretation or a secondary application. Nothing I'm going to say this morning I believe is unscriptural, but I want you to know up front that I'm reading a little bit into the scripture here, but I believe that I've got the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. I've prayed about it, and God's given me liberty to preach what I'm about to preach to you this morning. Luke chapter number 2, we have an account where Mary and Joseph, the parents, the earthly parents. I like how they use it in verse number 43. It says, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother.
Right.
Right? Joseph and his mother. You say, well, down in verse number, and I'm just going to get this out here at the beginning. You say, well, down in verse number 48, Mary says, "Thy father and I have sought thee." And Jesus says, "How is that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?"
Right.
Jesus said, "Joseph's not my father. Now, he's my earthly father. He's my stepfather.
And I believe Joseph is a good man. And I believe Jesus, we'll see even in the end of this message, the Bible says that Jesus went down with them to Nazareth in verse 51 and was subject unto them. Jesus respected Joseph's earthly position, but Jesus wanted it to be known, he's not my father.
Right.
And so I want us to see this morning, Mary and Joseph here in Luke chapter number 2, have gotten away from Jesus. And that's my message this morning. They've left Jesus. I think about the song that the lady sang here at the church. They sang a song called, I believe the title of it is, Where is Jesus? And that's kind of, that's the title of my message this morning. Where's Jesus? You see, in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. That may be some of the saddest words in the Bible. Jesus was not with them, and they didn't know it. I want to talk to you this morning about that thought. Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fellowship. Is there someone here this morning that would say, I've gotten away from the Lord, and I don't know where's Jesus? And so I want to preach to you on that subject this morning. Where is Jesus? The first thing I want us to see here is I want us to look at the cause for the departure. The cause for the departure. I see here in the Bible, and I'm not trying to read too much into the scriptures here, but I want to put myself into this story. And if I put myself into this story, I can't help but think that the cry of this story is, where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? If I'm these parents and I've lost my child that's 12 years old, I've got a daughter here that's 11 years old, and I've been reflecting and thinking about this, and I understand that Jesus was more mature than my 11-year-old daughter, but still, Jesus is 12 years old, and I think we're going to see this morning that his parents were very concerned. And so as I look at this passage of Scripture, no doubt in Mary and Joseph's heart, the question that is going through their mind is, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And I want to ask you this morning, where is Jesus? The cause for his departure. I'm not sure exactly all that happened here, but I thought of some reasons why they may have left Jesus behind. The first thing I want us to look at in verse number 43, it says, when they had fulfilled the days. When they had fulfilled the days. You know one reason I think people leave Jesus behind, or one of the causes that people get away from the Lord? And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is getting away from the Lord. One of the causes that people get away from the Lord, I believe, is complacency. Complacency. You say, what is complacency, Brother David? I looked up the word complacency because, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure that I knew. Amen. The word complacency means this. It means to be satisfied with oneself. You say, how do you get that from this passage of Scripture, Brother David? I think you're reading too much into the Bible. Maybe I am. I don't know, but I see this. The Bible says that when they had fulfilled the days. You know what that means? That means they had went to the Passover feast, and the Bible says that they stayed all week. I was doing some reading on this, and some folks, when they went up to the feast of the Passover, let me explain this. This is the most holy week of the year for the Jews. We know what the Passover is, right? It's the celebration of the Passover lamb, when the children of Israel were delivered out of bondage in Egypt, when the death angel passed over. When he saw the blood, he passed over, and they were set free from bondage. They were set free from Egypt. They were set free from Pharaoh, that old taskmaster, a picture of the devil. And you see, so the cause here, I believe, you could say maybe it was complacency. You see, they'd been at church all week. Let's bring it to today. They've been in a revival meeting. Maybe a missions conference. For our young people that are here today, it's Youth Sunday. Maybe for our young people here today, maybe they just got back from youth camp. Maybe they've been at a youth conference. Maybe they've been somewhere where God has really been moving. You know, we've had some great meetings here at our church, and I was thinking about some of the revival meetings that we've had through the years, some of the missions conferences that we've had through the years, maybe some of the vacation Bible schools that we've had through the years, and how that we've seen God move, how we've seen souls saved, and how we've seen lives changed. And you know, if we're not careful, what'll happen is we'll get complacent. We'll think, oh, well, I'm okay. You know, I've been at church all week. I was there every night. You see, they fulfilled the days. The Bible wants us to know that they fulfilled the days. They didn't leave on Tuesday. They didn't miss a couple nights of the revival meeting. They were there every night. They had been there the whole week. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they got complacent. Maybe they got satisfied with themselves. They thought, I'm okay. I've been in church all week. We just got back from youth conference. We just got back from camp. You know, we got to be real careful here as Christians to not go into a valley right off of a mountaintop. Some of the greatest defeats in a Christian's life is after some of the greatest victories. You get prepared and you're praying and you're looking forward to that revival meeting. You're looking forward to that youth conference. You're looking forward to going to camp and you pray and you fast and you ask God to do something. And then you have a great week. And if you're not careful, you can get complacent. Think everything's okay. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened to them. Maybe they got complacent. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't complacency that happened. Maybe it wasn't that they got complacent. Maybe they just got careless. You say, well, isn't that complacency, Brother David? I don't know, maybe a little bit. Complacency is somebody being satisfied with oneself. Carelessness is somebody really not even caring. Maybe they got careless. I think about our young people. If you're a young person in this building, as I look out through this auditorium, most of our young people that are here this morning, you've been in church your entire life. You've been in church longer than you've been alive. Most of you that I'm looking at, you came to church 9 months before you were born. Your parents were bringing you to church before you even knew what church was. And you know what can happen? Growing up in a home like that, my children, some of the young people in this auditorium, you can get careless. You can just think it's always going to be that way. You know, I've been going to church my whole life. I've seen God do some great things my whole life. I've seen people getting saved, and I've seen people's lives getting changed, and I've seen God build buildings, and I've seen God buy land, and I've seen God do great and mighty things. And if you're not careful, you know what can happen? You cannot get just complacent, satisfied with yourself. You can get careless where you just think it's supposed to be that way. You see in verse number 40, I believe it's verse number 44, it says, but they supposing, you see that? Look at it. It says, but they supposing him to have been in the company. They just thought, well, he's going to be with us. He's always with us. You know, it's Jesus. He's going to always be there. And I'm just telling you this morning, if we're not careful as children of God, we can get complacent. We can think more highly of ourselves than we ought. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. We got to be careful about getting complacent and getting satisfied with ourselves. But we also got to be careful about getting careless, where we just take the things of God nonchalantly. We just suppose that Jesus is going to be there. We just suppose that he's going to bless our singing. We just suppose he's going to bless our Sunday school lesson. We just suppose that he's going to meet with us in church. We just suppose that he's going to do everything that he said he's going to do, and we just get careless. We don't care about reading our Bible. We don't spend time in prayer. We just take the things of God real carelessly. You know, carelessly. We don't really care if we go to church this morning. I'm going to say this out loud. You know, I'm not being mean this morning. I believe with all of my heart there are folks that could not be here this morning. So if you're watching by live stream this morning, I want you to know there are some folks this morning that absolutely could not be here because of their age or because of where they live or because of the roads in which they live on. But I'm going to tell you this, there's probably some folks that are sitting at home this morning watching this live stream service, and the reason they're not here is because they're complacent. They're careless. They really don't care about the things of God. Church isn't that important. Now, they're going to make it to the Super Bowl party this evening, but they're not going to make it to the house of God this morning. Do you understand? People can get careless about the things of God. And I'm not saying that's what happened to Mary and Joseph. I'm just saying it could have. They supposed Jesus was with them. I can't tell you the times as a parent I've had that happen to me. We haven't left any here yet. But that's because we ride in the same vehicle. I'm just sure if we drove separately to church, there'd probably be a time we both got home. I think of Brother David. Is he in here, Brother David Brooks? He's upstairs with the children. Brother David tells me of a story. I think he said it here in the church, so I'm not, you know, confessing his sins. He confessed them. Where him and Miss Betty left church and got home, and they were talking, and Heather, they said, "Where's Heather?" She said, "Well, I thought she rode with you." He said, no, I thought she rode with you." And they went, "Oh, no. Heather's at church." That's when y'all was over at Calvary, right, Brother Eddie? They left Heather at church. I don't know, maybe Brother David. I'm just treading carefully here, you know. Miss Betty probably, it was Brother David's fault. He was careless, right? I know it wasn't Miss Betty's fault. She probably told Brother David, "Brother David, you needed to carry Heather home with you." And Brother David, being careless, forgot her. I've done it. I can't tell you the times that we've gotten our vehicle to leave. Mary's rolling her eyes, but we've gotten our vehicle to leave. And it's always my job to carry the baby carrier. Right now it's Ren. I've been carrying baby carriers. It's the last baby carrier I'm carrying, amen. If we adopt one, we adopted them about 2 years old, Brother John. I'm done carrying baby carriers. I'm starting to get a crick in my back from carrying baby carriers. But that's my job. I carry the baby carrier. And I can't tell you the times, I'm not lying here, that we've gotten the vehicle, cranked it up, I put it in reverse, and Meredith looked at me, "Are you going to get the baby?" I done locked the door, Brother John. I mean locked the door. Last one out of the house. My only responsibility, Brother Brian, was get the baby. I got the Bible. I got the baby's bag. Get the baby. I get my coffee. Carelessness. My mom never says amen, but she's probably typing amen on our church website right now because she's constantly saying, "Meredith, don't leave. Don't let him. He's too careless." Right? Okay, I need to get off of me, right? But so I'm talking about carelessness. I don't know what happened. They supposed Jesus was with them. Maybe they got careless, and maybe you've gotten careless this morning. I'm talking about somebody has gotten away from the Lord, and you're wondering what happened. Maybe you got complacent. Maybe you thought more highly of yourself than you ought. Maybe you thought, "I'm okay. I'm not going to fall. It's not going to happen to me. I won't get out of church. I won't mess up. I won't sin." Or maybe you've just gotten careless, and you're taking the things of God real lightly. You've quit reading your Bible. You've quit praying, you've quit making church a priority, and you've gotten careless in your walk with God. I'm telling you, it can happen. They were complacent. Maybe they were careless. I don't know. I think of Judges chapter 16 and verse number 20. It's talking about Samson. The Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Samson, the Philistines are here. Samson, wake up, the Philistines are here. The Bible says he wist not, got complacent. He defeated them every other time. He got careless. He thought, "Oh, God's always going to win the victory for me. God's always going to show up on my behalf." He got careless, and the Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Is there somebody here this morning? Maybe it's a young person. You've gotten complacent, been in church your whole life, and you think you're fine, or you've gotten careless, and you just take the things of God lightly. Preaching doesn't stir you. The songs of the saints doesn't do anything for you. Coming to church, you could take it or leave it. I've heard people say that. Pastors referred to it. We worked with a man one time, and we were talking about, we were listening to some preaching, and I mean, it was some preaching. Brother Sexton was preaching, and I mean, he was laying it down, and pastor said, "Hey, brother," he said, "you like that kind of preaching?" It was kind of obvious that he didn't. Pastor said, "Hey, brother, you like that kind of preaching?" He said, "I can take it or leave it." Is that you this morning? Could you take it or leave it? I don't believe it is. You're here this morning. But maybe you rode with your husband. Maybe you rode with your wife. Maybe you rode with mom or dad. But in your own personal life, you could take it or leave it. I don't know. Maybe they were complacent. Maybe they were careless. I got to hurry. Maybe it was just chaotic. chaotic. Look at verse number 43. It says, when they fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company. I went back to us leaving the house. You're talking about chaos. Leah just laughed. When the Oliver clan is getting ready to go somewhere, it's chaotic. Don't laugh at me. Brother Greg Banks told me this morning he couldn't drive warp speed on his way to church. He said, we're going to have to leave a little early because we're not going to be able to drive warp speed. I said, don't tell your kids that Sunday school's canceled. You know what I'm talking about. You're getting ready to go somewhere, it's chaotic. Getting ready to go on vacation, do we got everything that we need? Did we pack the pool volleyball net? On our vacation, that's important. Did you get the pool volleyball net? Did you get the board games? You know, us men, did I get my books? The wives are like, do we got clothes? Do we got deodorant? Do we got food? Do we got, you know, all the things that we need? Men's like, do we got the football? The horseshoes? Do we got the, you know, do I got the books that I'm going to read? You know, do, the important stuff, right? I'm like, do we got the fan? Right? Do we got the fan? Because we're going to put a lug, we're going to put a suitcase out if we don't have a fan, Brother Brian. We got to take the fan, right? Because I'm not going to sleep all week if we don't have a fan. And so you say, but you're leaving the house, you're going on a journey. It can get kind of chaotic, right? I don't know. Maybe that's what was happening here. Mary and Joseph, they're leaving Jerusalem. I read after one man that said that most people believe there was thousands and thousands of people at the Feast of the Passover, maybe up to 1 million people in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. I mean chaotic. They're traveling in a caravan. It's with a company. They said they look for him with the company. There's tons of people, the whole family, the cousins, the aunts, like the Merriman clan, getting ready to go on vacation, right? All of them's going. Brother Allen said that'll never happen, right? but they're all everybody's going. It's chaotic. You know, life will do that. Life gets chaotic. I don't know, maybe Joseph was thinking, I got to get back to the shop. Man, I got a bunch of orders. You know, he's a carpenter. I got a bunch of orders back. Man, when I left Nazareth, man, I had a whole list of things that I had to get done. I had a couple tables that had to be built. I had a couple chairs that I needed to make for someone. I have all kinds of stuff that I need to get done. And maybe Joseph had those things on his mind. Maybe Mary was thinking, you know, making sure she had all the other kids together. You know, they had their own children, I believe, at this time. And so maybe she's making sure she's got all the other stuff together. And it's just chaotic. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of parts moving. There's a lot of people that are traveling. And I don't know, maybe it just got chaotic, but something happened and they left Jesus behind. You know, if we're not careful, our lives will get real chaotic. I read after one man that said Martin Luther, and I don't agree with everything that Martin Luther done, but Martin Luther said the busier his life was, the more time he saw a need to spend in prayer. See, if we're not careful, our lives will get busy. They'll get chaotic. We'll leave church today, and we'll think everything's okay, kind of like they did when they were leaving the Passover. And we'll think, oh, man, I've got it. I've done good yesterday. You know, everybody else stayed home, but I went to church. I got up. I got out in the snow. I went to the house of God. I got my duty done. And you'll wake up tomorrow, and if you're not careful, the chaos of a Monday morning, work and responsibility and all those things, the family and all those things will begin to just close in on you. And if you're not careful, you'll leave Jesus behind. I don't want to leave Jesus behind. And I believe I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that do not want to leave Jesus behind. But I'm telling you, it can happen. Here's his parents, his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, and they left Jesus behind. I don't know why. Maybe it was complacency. Maybe it was carelessness. Maybe it was just the chaos, all that was going on, and they just forgot, and they just got busy, and it can happen. You can get too busy to pray. You can get too busy to read your Bible. You can get too busy to focus on what's important. That's what the devil wants. He wants to keep us busy. You know, I really thought when this pandemic happened, I really thought, Pastor, maybe it's a good thing. People are going to slow down. Going to spend some time with the Lord. But I tell you, I don't know that that's what's happened. Zoom meetings. Social media. Cell phones. All kinds of other activity. But not spending time with God. I really believe God is trying to get our attention. He's saying, hey, spend time with me. Spend time with me. Don't let the chaos of this world keep you from spending time with Jesus. We see the cause of their departure. I want us to see this. The cost. I'm going to try to go quicker on my second point than my first. The cost of their departure. You see the cause. What did it cost them? Look at verse number 48. The Bible says this in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, look at it, sorrowing. You say, what was the cost of leaving Jesus behind? What was the cost of getting away from the Lord? That's what I'm talking about this morning. What does it cost us when we get away from the Lord? I believe the first thing it costed them was emotional stress. Emotional. The cost, it was emotional. It says they were sorrowing. I looked up that word in the concordance. That word means to be in anguish, to cause much pain. It literally means to be tormented. If you look that word up, that same exact word in the Greek is the same word that's used in Luke chapter number 16 when it's talking about the rich man and Lazarus. It says he lift up his eyes, being in hell, being in torments. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment. Same word. This word, sorrow. Same word, torment, anguish. To be heavily burdened by something. Can I tell you, when the child of God gets away from the Lord, there is emotional effects. I've said this so many times, and I believe with all my heart, the most miserable people in the world are backslidden Christians. The lost man doesn't know any better. When I was lost, I was miserable, but I didn't know any better. But a saved person, a child of God, that has known the presence of God, has sensed the Holy Spirit of God, has walked with Jesus. I'm telling you, when they get away from the Lord, they're the most miserable people in all the world. Sorrow, anguish, torment. I'm afraid there's many Christians, maybe in this building this morning, I don't know, but definitely outside of this building this morning, and they're saved. Yes, they're a child of God. They are a Christian, but they have gotten away from the Lord, and their life is just full of sorrow. The emotional effects, the emotional cost. Not only was there an emotional cost, but I'll tell you this, I believe there was an exhausting cost of departing from Jesus. Look at it. It says that they went a day's journey. The Bible says in verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. Not only was it an emotional cost, but there was an exhausting cost. I mean, these people looked for 3 days for Jesus. And they didn't have, cars like we got today. They were on foot, maybe on camel, I don't know, maybe on a pony, but I know this, they weren't moving as fast as we move. They had went a day's journey, and then the Bible says they came back in 3 days it took them to find Jesus. And I don't think that they were, nonchalantly just kind of walking around. Well, Mary, I went down there to the market. I didn't see him. I went over to the coffee shop there in Jerusalem. They got to have a coffee shop in Jerusalem, Brother John. I sure hope. I went to the coffee shop in Jerusalem. I didn't see him. No, I don't think that's what was going on. I know if one of my children was missing. I know if we went to Disney World, not now, you'd probably find them in no time. Social distancing, right? But back when we went, if I went to Disney World and the place was packed, and I lost one of my children, I doubt I'd be just walking around, Brother Eric. Hey, have you seen, it's a little girl. She likes to climb stuff.
Her name's Lydia. Meredith, you look down, I'll look up. She's probably hanging from one of these roller coasters somewhere, right? Have you seen? No. No, I don't think that's what was going on. I'm picturing Mary and Joseph. I mean, they're moving. We got to find Jesus. I've lost my son. Where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? I think they was going to the cousins, to the aunts, to the uncles. Hey, have you seen Jesus? We can't find Jesus. I don't know where Jesus is. I got to find Jesus. And I believe that it was exhausting emotionally, but physically, I couldn't imagine what was going through their mind when they realized, I've lost Jesus. And I'm afraid that there's Christians that have gotten away from Jesus, but they're not taking it very serious, and they need to get a hold of what has actually happened, and they need to let it affect them, and it will, and they need to be exhausted and find Jesus. It was exhausting. It was emotional. I'm going to say this. I bet it was embarrassing. You say, you're being awful hard on Joseph and Mary. You shouldn't talk about Mary like that. Hey, Mary's a good woman, but that's all. Man, somebody give me an amen. Goodness gracious. Mary is a great woman, but that's all. Okay, let's not buy into this stuff that it's the Holy Mother Mary. No, Mary is a person just like us. She's not perfect. She's not God. She doesn't need to be prayed to, okay? And so, Mary, you say, don't be so hard on Joseph and Mary. I don't know. They lost their 12-year-old son. I'm imagining that's probably pretty embarrassing. I can't tell you the times. It's embarrassing. I'm just going to be honest. It's embarrassing, Pastor. I can't tell you the times after church on a Sunday night that Emery's running around and I'm talking. Imagine that. I'm talking. Meredith's in some room somewhere practicing music, because that's what she does after church. I talk, she practices music. I'm supposed to be watching the kids. I already told you I was careless, right? I can't tell you the times that some of you have seen me. And I'll tell you what you don't see is this. Sometimes I try to fake it out. Like, well, this is what I do, okay? I'm going to show you. I'm going to hurry. I'm almost done. This is me on a Sunday night when I lose Emery. I'm running around. I'm like, it's ritual. I'm in the bathroom. I'm walking through the hallways. I'm like, have you seen Emery? And then this is what happens, though. And I catch the eye of this one lady, and I slow down. Because it's my mother-in-law. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing. You know, Emery was just now right here. Have you seen Emery? And she's like, Nana's got her in the bathroom. It's embarrassing. But it's not as embarrassing if Troy says, Brother Dave, what are you doing? I'm looking for Emery. I don't see her. You know, it's not as embarrassing then. But when my mother-in-law sees me, you know, in a panic, like, is she out in the parking lot walking behind a car? Is she, you know, that's what she's always concerned about. She's then wandered out into the dark parking lot. I'll be honest, when my mother-in-law sees me running around like that, it's embarrassing. You know, when you get away from the Lord, it's embarrassing. We don't like to talk about it. But if we're honest, all of us, there's times where we just kind of get away from the Lord. And when we do, 9 times out of 10, we embarrass ourselves. We make some bad decision. We say some dumb thing. We handle some situation the way we shouldn't have handled it. It embarrasses us. We have to, well, they say, eat crow. Got to come back and say, man, I'm sorry. I've had to tell Miss Sharon, I was supposed to be watching Emery, but I don't know where she's at. It's embarrassing. Then we'll both go on a frantic search, you know. But that's what happens. I'm imagining it was embarrassing to Mary and Joseph to go to their kinfolk, to go to their acquaintances, to go into the town and to go into the village and to go to each place and say, hey, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? What do you mean, have I seen Jesus? He's your responsibility. See, when you get away from the Lord, it'll cost you emotionally. It'll cost you, it'll exhaust you physically. It'll even cost you some embarrassment. So we see the cost, and then I'm done with this. We see the coming
together after the departure. So we saw first the causes of the departure. Secondly, we saw the cost of the departure. And now I want us to look at this, the coming together after the departure. The Bible says in verse number 45, it says this, "And when they found him not." You say, what is this first step to the coming together after the departure? A realization. A realization. Mary and Joseph had to realize that they had gotten away from Jesus. Are you with me? I'm almost done. Are you with me? They had to realize that they had gotten away from Jesus. Is there somebody here this morning that needs to come to the realization, I have gotten away from the Lord? They realized it. It said they finally realized after they went to the kinfolk, after they looked through the entourage or the caravan that was traveling with them, they came to the realization. I'm sure they were like me at times when I'm looking for Emery. I know she's around here. I'm really not that concerned quite yet. I mean, I look a little concerned, but I'm not concerned because I know she's around here and I know I'm going to find her. But then when they came to that actual realization, she's gone. Or he's gone. Jesus is gone. Realization. That's the first step to the coming together. Is there somebody here this morning? You have gotten away from the Lord and you've got to realize it. You've got to see it. I think of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says that when he came to himself, he went out into the far country and he spent all of his goods on riotous living. And the Bible says that when he went down into the pig pen, when he got down into the pig pen, the Bible says that he finally came to himself. He finally realized, what am I doing? And the very next verse says, I will arise and I will go to my father's house. He said, what am I doing down here in the pig pen? My father has servants that are eating better than me. I'm a son and his servants are eating better than I am. What am I doing down here in the pig pen? And he said, I will rise up. I will arise and I will go to my father. Is there somebody here this morning like that prodigal and you've gotten away from the Lord and you've wandered away and Jesus isn't as close as he once was and it's time for you to realize it and to arise and go back to the Father. Go back to Jesus. The prodigal. He had to come to a realization. I think of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says this about that church there in Ephesus. Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee. You say, why did Jesus say that? Look it up in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember therefore, and from whence thou art fallen and repent and do thy first works. You see, that church had forgotten their first love. And Jesus said, you need to remember, you need to realize, you need to return back to where you once were. That's the first step to coming together. A realization. A realization. Number two. There's a return. The return. So there's the realization, then there's the return. Verse 45 says, when they found him not, they realized he's gone. He's gone. I've gotten away from Jesus. I've gotten away from the Lord. In verse 45, it says, they turned back again to Jerusalem. And it says, seeking him. In verse number 48, it says, they sought him. That word sought means they ransacked. I mean, they went on a mission to find Jesus. They searched for him. You see, so they realized he's gone. Then they returned and they searched. They said, I got to get back to him. I got to get back to Jesus, right? The Bible says in Jeremiah, in verse number 29, in chapter 29, verse 13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That prodigal, when he realized that he was in the pig pen and he realized he had gotten away from the Father, the Bible says he arose. I will go to my Father's house. I'm going to return. Is there somebody here this morning? It's time to return. Get back to Jesus. There's the realization, there's the return, and then last, there's the reunion. There's the reunion. Look at verse 48. I love this. It says, when they saw him. It's my last point. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the story with me this morning. Forget about the snow. Forget about the crock pot. Forget about everything else. Can you imagine? 3 days, they haven't been able to find their son. There's parents here this morning. I got 5 children. I couldn't imagine. I bet Mary and Joseph didn't sleep much those 3 days. I doubt, Brother Eddie, they even ate much. Their child is missing. The Lord is somewhere. They realized it. They returned. They reunited. Can you imagine when they saw him? After 3 days of not sleeping, not eating, to and fro, searching, panicking, you know, running around. You say, I don't think they were doing that, Brother David. I already showed you in this verse. She said, we were sorrowing. I'm talking about the same word that's used about that rich man in hell, in torments. Yes, they were very sorrowful. And they saw him. That's a one. Can I tell you this morning, I pray to God that somebody, if it's just one person this morning, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, if there's just one person in this building this morning that has gotten away from God, and it may not be somebody you're thinking, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, this one's away from God, or this one's away from God. It may be the Sunday school teacher that's gotten away from God. Can I tell you, there's been times where I've gotten away from God. And if somebody this morning would just see, just sing. Say, where am I going to sing, Brother David? You're in the same place they were. That's just kind of a side note, but I like where they saw him at. Look at verse number 48. It says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Where were they at? It says in verse number 46, it says, and it came to pass after 3 days, they found him where? In the temple. Can I tell you, you're in a good place to sing. Now, I ain't going to say this is the only place you can see him. Thank God I saw him sitting in a pick and pack parking lot. First time I saw him, really saw him, I was sitting in Brother Calvin's Forerunner in a pick and pack parking lot, and I saw him. Oh, my goodness, I'm so glad I saw him. But can I tell you, if you've gotten away from him this morning, you've gotten complacent, you've gotten careless, maybe your life's gotten a little chaotic and you got a lot of things going on. Can I tell you, hey, he's here. Just sing. They saw him. Not only that, they spoke to him. She said to him, Jesus, she said, son, can I tell you, hey, speak to him. His ear's open. He's open. He wants to hear you speak to him today. You say, Brother David, you don't understand. I've gotten so far away. I've left the Lord. It's been longer than a day. It's been longer than 3 days. It's been 3 months. Maybe it's even been 3 years. Can I tell you? Hey, all you got to do is see. And all you got to do is speak to him. He said, if you confess your sins, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you got to do is see him this morning. And all you've got to do is speak to him this morning. Say, God, I'm sorry. I know I wandered away. God, I know it. I know I wandered away. And I know I've gotten away from you. Oh, but I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I want to spend time with you. They returned. They were reunited. They saw him. They spoke to him. I love how Jesus responded. He said, how is it that ye sought for me? You know, on first glance at this, you say, man, Jesus kind of being, I'm almost, it's hard for me to even say this, Pastor, because I wouldn't do anything to disrespect my Lord. But it almost sounds like Jesus is kind of back-talking Mary. She said, son, we sought for you, saw her. And he said, how is it that you sought for me? Must I not be about my Father's business? I don't believe Jesus is back talking. Jesus did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He's perfect, sinless, holy, spotless, Son of God. Lord, just bless his holy name this morning. I'm just so glad that my God is a sinless, perfect. I mean, he's holy. He's blameless. He's wonderful. But I really believe he's saying this. Why are you seeking for me? I didn't leave. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if you're here this morning and you've gotten away from the Lord, it's not Him. There's that story. I'll probably mess it up because I am terrible at telling stories. But there's that story of the man and his wife, and said when they got married, you may have told it, preacher. I don't know. I've heard it years ago. Said that they would, you know, they don't even sell them. Do they sell the trucks anymore that don't have the console in between? You know, the whole. Pete, your truck's probably. Does your truck got the old flat always seat all the way across? Used to. Took it out, right? They got them old flat. Them trucks got the flat seat all the way across. When I was growing up, you could get like 4 or 5 people in that thing. You just one of you had to change gears. Whoever was straddling, you got to change gears for me, son. That's second gear. Get in the fourth gear, right? You're in the wrong gear. I'm sorry, but anyway, I got off on that. But you know, they're riding in the old truck. Some of y'all laughing because y'all done that before, right? Dropped her from third to second. Dad's like, "Whoa!" He's like, "Yeah, I meant to do that. I was trying to spin a wheel, you know." But anyway, so the woman said when they got married, she was sitting right next to him. Said he riding down the road in that honeymoon stage, you know. Sweetheart, just got married, riding down the road, arm around her. Why'd they stop? Why'd they take them seats out? So you took yours out, Pete. Can I get it? We'll put it in my truck, right? Got his wife right here beside him. Then it says, I don't know, time went on, 20, 30 years. She's riding over in the passenger seat. He's riding in the driver's seat. She looks over at him and says, "Honey, you don't ever want to just sit beside me like we used to." He says, I ain't moved. You're the one scooted over. Can I tell you, he ain't moved. I know that ain't good English. He ain't moved, but hey, it'll work. He ain't moved. He hasn't gone nowhere. He made a promise, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with thee always. I'm not going anywhere." If you've gotten away from the Lord this morning, you were the one that did it. The times that I've gotten away from the Lord, I'm the one that did it. Jesus said, "Why are you searching for me? I never went anywhere. I'm right here. I'm about the Father's, but I'm right where you left me at the temple." Can I tell you, if you've gotten away from the Lord, He's right where you left Him at. He's right where you left Him at. Come back to Him. Realize it. Return. Be you reunited. This tie is driving me crazy. I'm done. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you say, "I'm not even saved. I haven't gotten away from the Lord. I don't know the Lord." Can I tell you? It's like the formula works for you. All you got to do is realize it. That's all you got to do. Realize, I'm lost. I don't know the Lord. Seek Him. The Bible says, "Seek Him while He shall be found. Come to Him. See Him. Come see and taste that the Lord is good." He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "Come." All you got to do is come. And you can be united, not reunited, united with Jesus. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I preach what the Lord laid on my heart this morning. I'm going to say a couple words and I'll turn it over to the pastor. The pianist can begin to play. I just wonder this morning. Is there somebody here this morning, you say, "You know, Brother David, you explained me to a T. I've just gotten complacent. I don't know. I got careless. My life's just been chaotic. You just don't understand work and family and just responsibility. There's just so much going on in my life. And I've gotten away from the Lord. I've wandered away." There's a song that says, "Lord, I've wandered away, but I'm coming home." I wonder if that's you this morning. You say, "I've wandered away. I've gotten away from the Lord. But today God has spoken to me. And I'm tired of the emotional distress. I'm tired of the exhaustion of not being with Jesus. I'm tired of the embarrassment that it's putting on my life of not being close to the Lord. And I want to return this morning. I want to come back to Jesus this morning." I'm telling you, hey, come. Come. He's here. The Lord is here. If you're watching from home, can I tell you, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. You can, even where you sit in your living room at your house, you can realize your condition, and you can return, and you can be reunited with the Lord. Or if you're lost, you can realize it, and you can ask Him to save you, and you can be united with the Lord. I'm just telling you today, He's available. There's those at the altars. There's somebody here that's not at the altar this morning that would say, "Brother David, God has spoken to my heart this morning. I didn't come to the altar, but I want you to pray for me. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I'll pray for you. I mean it." Anybody that would lift their hand and say, "That's me. God spoke to my heart this morning, and I just want you to pray for me." Maybe there's somebody say, "You know, I'm not saved. And I know it. I realize it. And I want to do something about it. I'm not saved. Brother David, would you pray for me that God would help me to take the next step?" Is there anybody this morning that would say that? I know it would be hard, but you say, "I'm not saved." Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's an adult. I don't know. But you would raise your hand even now and say, "Brother David, I don't think that I'm saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that would raise their hand? Father, thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would take it. God, that you would bless it. God, do what you desire to do with it today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.